appreciate that. Anybody need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet? Lift your hand up if you missed one. Bring one down in front here, John, or a couple maybe. I appreciate it. Sean, thank you. We're going to reread that one little passage, Romans 10, verse 9, if you will. Romans 10, verse 9. We will see. I think this will pretty well conclude, unless there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, but I think this will conclude. This will be message number 10. It makes a nice little package here. We'll probably use this again to train some folks down the road. But I wanted to do it with us, and do with it all of us at one time. And I hope you get a desire to lead somebody to Christ. And I hope you realize that it's not as difficult as we think it is. It really isn't. I mean, Christ does the lead, does the saving. Our job is to get the truth to the people. Now, we ought to put it on a nice clean, in a nice clean vessel when we take it to them. We should have the power of the Spirit upon you, so forth. And but the fact is, I've seen the Lord use all kinds of people to win folks to Christ, because His Word doesn't return void. It's truth. And so I really want to encourage you to do that. Let me read through here. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. This is the last little passage I usually use when I'm leading someone to Christ. It kind of summarizes the whole thing. It says, verse 9, if thou shalt confess or admit agree with, let's say that, to think about the same as the Lord thinks about it, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not the head, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't mean might be, not maybe, if it gets around to it, if you're on the right list. No, shall be saved. And let's pray. And we're going to give a little preview and overview, and we'll see how we do here tonight. Father, thank you again for your blessing. I thank you for speaking to the hearts of our people. And I know there's some folks who couldn't be here, and they're looking to make sure we had the papers, and they want to make sure they finish up the series of lessons, and that excites me. And Lord, I pray that you put your hand on our folks. Give them the boldness. Give them the love. Give them the endowment of power. Pray that you place your hand on them. Help them to see souls for what they are. Someone is going to spend eternity someplace. Lord, I thank you that there was a day when somebody gave me the gospel. And Lord, encourage our folks to realize they can do it. It's a calling for all of us. We've been commissioned to be witnesses unto you wherever we may be. So, Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to move. Work in our hearts. Burden us. Burn our hearts for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. May we do a great work for you where you've planted us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Number one on your paper. There's some things, I'm going to do an overview, kind of a review overview here. So kind of try to put it all in place, kind of summarize it. We've been through 9 other messages. We've gone in through a lot of things in depth. Now I'm hoping that so that we don't lose sight of the forest for the trees, that I want you to see again the overall view of what it is that we're trying to do. Number one, we need to settle in preparing to win somebody, Lord, the preparation you see there. Preparation. We need to settle your own salvation in your heart. Settle your own salvation in your heart. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. What I'm saying here is, if you're unsure of your own salvation, it will be difficult to lead someone else to a true faith in Jesus. You cannot lead someone to assurance of salvation if you don't have assurance of salvation yourself. It'll be very difficult. Now, they may get the Word of God a little better than you do or something. Maybe that's the thing. That's the thing. But I think there are still a few folks around, and maybe even around here, that think that a person can lose their salvation or that works still play a role in establishing one's salvation. Our salvation is by grace. If it's of grace, it's not of works. If it's of works, it's not of grace. I'm sorry. I mean, yes, there should be a change. If there's not a change, then listen, by their fruit ye shall know them. But the fact is, folks who aren't sure, I remember years ago when I was a little bit shaky. I was saved, but I was a little shaky in a few things. And I had a hard time leading somebody to the Lord because I thought, well, I don't want to lead them astray. I don't want to tell them something wrong. I don't want to have some kind of false assurance. And am I going to tell them something and hurt them? And I didn't want to hurt anybody. And the fact is, when I really realized the Word of God tells me, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If it's of works, then we have something to boast in. If works has anything to do with it, then we have therewith to boast. How can we ever add anything to the price that God has already paid when he gave his only begotten son? That's like going to a big fancy dinner and somebody paying, you know, for your family to eat $500 and let me help, I'll give you one. All you're really saying is what you did still isn't good enough. I want to have at least my 2 cents in there. Why don't we just humble ourselves and realize we're saved by grace through faith? So settle your own salvation. Number two, in preparation to win somebody to the Lord, pray. Pray. Anything that's without faith is sin. Pray. What's prayer? Utter dependence upon God. You cannot win someone to the Lord. God's going to do it. Now, you may just happen, you might give them the gospel. You may say a few things that God has been planting and all these things, and he may usually say a key phrase, but you didn't lead him to Christ. God led him to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's the one that convicts. He's the one that regenerates. Our job is to give the gospel. But the fact is, we can pray to be used. Letter A, we should pray for God to give you power. Pray for God to give you power. It says, ye shall be endued with power. Wait in Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. God does the work. God does the work. Pray for power. Letter B, pray for God to give you boldness. Boldness. When the disciples were persecuted and imprisoned and beaten for giving out the gospel, they didn't say, Lord, please stop them from doing this to us. No, they said, Lord, give us boldness. We're facing a world that hates Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is a divider. He tells us we're sinners. That's why Jesus was arrested in the garden by the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests, because he told them they were sinners like the rest of us and they didn't want to hear it. Pray for boldness. Boldness is not arrogancy. Boldness is not, what's the word I'm looking for? No, the word I'm trying to find. Obnoxious. All right. Boldness is not yelling and arguing. But boldness is standing there with a clear heart, a clear mind, looked him square in the eye and said, you know what? We're all sinners. And if the Lord had just left us where it was, we'd all be in a heap of trouble. But he loved you enough that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Sometimes the most boldness you need is for friends and relatives. The people that you know you're never going to see again is not too hard. That person you know you're going to see every time at the reunion is hard. That person you live with, it's hard. That neighbor who always waves at the mailbox, you're going to try to go over and talk to him, it's hard. You don't want to lose your, but listen, the right boldness. Letter C, pray for God to give you opportunities. Opportunities to give somebody the gospel. Now, you know what? Some of us might be like me the first time I started knocking on doors. Well, I guess nobody's home. You know? We don't want to pray for opportunities because he might give us one. I understand. But listen, follow what I'm saying here tonight. You'll see it. But if you could just give them the gospel, maybe you won't win them to the Lord. Maybe you're going to be in the planting ministry for a little while. Maybe you're going to be in the watering ministry for a while. Listen, if somebody, before you were saved, if someone had walked up to you and said, you know for sure if you died to go to heaven? And you said, well, no, but I don't need to know. And you walked away. And a week later, another person came up to you. Let me ask you, do you know for sure if you died to go to heaven? By the time the third or fourth person does that, you're going to say, wait, whoa, 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 what's going on here? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if there's enough folks around here out of the independent Baptist churches in our town that almost everybody in the world has had that question asked? I be honest with you, I think maybe once somebody asked me that. Once. Now, I heard the gospel when I was in church and so forth, but other than that, just think if we did. Opportunities. Letter D, pray for God to give you love. Love for others. If you speak the truth in love, it really carries an awful lot of weight. Go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. Now you say, you know what your problem is? You're a filthy sinner. You're going to split hell wide open. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do you a favor and show you how you can go to heaven. You know, that probably isn't going to work. Probably isn't going to work. But if you can speak truth and love, it'll work. Number three, if we're going to prepare, we're going to settle our own salvation, we need to pray. Number three, we need Scripture. We need Scripture. Letter A, have a marked New Testament ready. This is a review here. Marked New Testament ready. I would put Romans 3:10 in the fly leaf of my little New Testament. And that at Romans 3:10, I put Romans 3:23 next to that. Next to that, I would put Romans 6:23, just like we've had it. I'd take a little yellow highlighter and highlight just those verses in that little New Testament. That'd be my soul-winning New Testament. The fact is, it's getting to the point now, this one here, I'm going to soon have to buy a new one. When it comes time for me to go back to Revelation 21:8 and 21:7, it flops open. It just flops. That just does. In fact, you can kind of see where the pages are dirty now. You know how that goes. But listen, you use it. After a while, you won't even think about it. It'll be normal. I mean, some of you guys are mechanics. If you have, remember how you used to have to set the spark plugs? Of course, nowadays, you know, I guess you still do. I don't know, because they have electronic ignition and all stuff anyway. But you could probably just explain it just like that. Same thing. You could lead somebody to the Lord just as quick as you can tell somebody how to set the gap in their spark plugs. Just as easy as you could tell them how to make a cake. Yes. Margaret down here knows how to put flowers all together and put all the arrangements together and all this stuff. So does Miss Kathy back here. Now, they to me, it's a foreign language. I know I like it, but say this is how you do it, it's kind of ridiculous, you know. But the fact is, probably if I did it enough and made enough mistakes, eventually I'd figure out how to do something that looks at least maybe presentable. And the fact is, we can do the same thing with giving the gospel. We can make it presentable. Keep the references fresh in your mind. Keep the references fresh in your mind. And here's a real easy way to keep them fresh in your mind. Lead somebody to the Lord. give somebody else the gospel, and give somebody else the gospel, and give somebody else the gospel, and give somebody else the gospel. Eventually, you know, it's kind of like, Tom's kind of like keeping your swing good on golf. By the time winter's over and you haven't been out a few times, of course you went out Christmas Day, right, with 70. But anyway, you know, you get a little rusty, and you know how to get rid of the rust, rub the rust off, use it. Nathan's car was sitting there during the snow, and we thought, well, we need to get it out and run. Of course, the battery was dead, so we jump started it. And we got out on the road, and boy, I put my foot on the brake and went, you know what I mean? To sit there for a while, it's rust all over the rotors here, yeah. And it just scrape. So I said, I told Jen, I'm going to go out and get the rust off. So we went out there, and I went up the road south, Sam, you know, kind of drifts, and I just kind of laid on the brake just a little bit, just not hard, just kind of brush off all the rust. You know, it's no problem now. Just got to get out and drive it a little bit. Same thing with leading yourself, knowing what you need to do to lead somebody to the Lord. To prepare, you need to settle your salvation, pray, get your scriptures ready. Number four, surrender. This is kind of hard. It's kind of like what Merle said here a little while ago. And that was a good statement. How'd you say that? You said usually our worry and our fretting is because we want our own way. That wasn't exactly how you said it, but that's kind of the gist of it. Not to surrender. One of the things we have problem with leading somebody to the Lord is the fact is, I don't want to be here. This is ridiculous. What if this guy, you know, gets mad at me and punches me in the nose? You know? Or what if I make him mad and make him, you know, send him to hell number three or something? I don't know. We think, you know, we get all these things. Letter A, we need to surrender to your calling to win souls. Surrender to the calling. Your calling to win souls. Letter B, surrender your time to give out the gospel. This is why we're here. Now, I know sometimes it's absolutely impossible for you to do it. But surrender your time. That may mean, watch this. It does not say in the Bible, thou shalt go out on visitation on Tuesday night and Saturday mornings. It doesn't say that. You know why we have visitation time on Tuesday night and Saturday morning? Because if we don't schedule it, it won't get done. So you might have to surrender some time. You might put in your day timer there, I'm going to call Aunt Susie Saturday morning about 10 o'clock because I know that's when she's sitting down kind of relaxing having a cup of tea. I'm going to go see so-and-so about this time. I might have to rearrange my schedule and go to them and say, you know, you've kind of been on my heart recently, and I know this sounds like a crazy question, and I hope I'm worried over nothing, but let me ask you a question. If you die, do you know for sure? Well, I don't usually use the word die. If something were to happen to you, do you know for sure you'll end up in heaven? That's a little nicer way to doing it. Curtis Hudson, did you ever hear the story about Curtis Hudson? Curtis Hudson's, of course, he always has a little book on how to win somebody to the Lord, and he was teaching his church how to win folks to the Lord. And he says, now here's the first question. If you were to die today, you know for sure that you would go to heaven, for 100% for sure, without a shadow of a doubt. And one day, one of his guys came in and says, you've got to learn a new question. You've got to get a new question. Good, what? Got to get a new question. A new question about what? The first question you're supposed to, he says, this guy's a doctor. He's just giving somebody an examination. He walked out of the room next door and checked all those notes to figure out what he was going to do. And he walked in and he says, if you were to die today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He says, he almost had a heart attack right there. He said, you got to have a new question. So actually, I usually say, if something were to happen to you, do you know for sure that you would end up in heaven? That type of thing. So you may figure that. Anyway, We need time. Surrender to the calling. Surrender your time. Letter C, surrender to the filling and the endowment of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you get the filling, by surrendering yourself. Put yourself last. Number five, care about people. Care about people. Letter A, be sincerely interested in people. I mean, be sincerely interested. I tried to watch some of the town hall meeting last night, and I was watching off of YouTube, and I don't know what was going on with the sound. I had a bunch of things. It stutters worse than I did. But it was awful. I just drive me bananas. It was awful. The sound was stuttering there. But Ted Cruz, every time somebody asked him a question, I appreciate that. It was a little bit much for me, to be honest with you. He says, but anyway, I appreciate, I'm not against him or for him. I appreciate your question. That's a good question. And you need to be sincerely interested in people. And watch me. If it's not necessarily bad, don't give them a sermon about something before you ever lead them to the Lord. Walk in there and they got one of those 72-inch widescreen TVs. Don't walk in there and say, I can't believe you spent all your money on a 72-inch widescreen TV. There's nothing on there but filth. I mean, come on. You know, don't do that. Wow, that's a big one. That probably set you back a little bit, didn't it? Well, that's really something. Well, that's probably the center of attraction. They have a great. I'm not trying to schmooze anybody, but you know, get interested in what they're interested. Listen, if they've got a great big 4x4 all done up with the chrome and so forth, boy, that's a sharp looking truck. Whose truck's it now here in the driveway? Care about them. In fact, people don't care how much you care, care what you know until they know how much you care. And right now, that's where their mentality is. I'm not trying to lie to them. I saw a semi go down the road yesterday. No, this morning. This morning, a semi go down the road. It was chrome-plated. The whole side of the tractor, the trailer, too, is chrome-plated. It had these sharp burgundy doors on the back. And it was, I wanted to stop the guys. That's the sharpest tractor trailer I think I've ever seen in my life. It was a really good looking truck. And listen, love the people, care about them. Watch this. This activity, number one, this activity is about their eternity, and it's not about us and our feelings. It's about their eternity, not about us and our feelings. Or where we stand on this, or where we stand on that. Letter B, if time warrants, be willing to enter into their lives. You might be. You got somebody. Okay. So while I'm spiritually mature and I know we're in a hospital and I know it doesn't look good, but you know I'm okay because I know where I'm going. Don't expect that other person to be as excited about heaven as you are. If they're not saved and they're sick, and it's not looking good, well, let them know you care about them. Let them know you're concerned about them. You might even want to pray for them first. Don't just walk in there and say, hey, if you're going to die, you're going to go to heaven. Let them know you care. Who was it I was talking to? Somebody was teaching soul winning, and I said, He was with somebody and they knocked on the door, nobody came. Knocked on the door, nobody came. They knocked on the door and nobody came. And you can always smell when somebody's barbecuing. Somebody's got the grill going. So he stooped around the backyard there, and there's a guy with his grill on there with a couple steaks. Now you know unless you like shoe leather like. Brother Jaggard here, you put the steak on at a certain time, and you got to take that baby off. You know what I mean? You got to put on first right there, you know, and I like my just a little pink in the middle. I don't like it running, but I like a little pink in the middle, but I want everything done, but still a little pink. But you got to do it just right. Now, don't go back there and say, listen to me. Well, we have guests coming in right now. Listen, you better let those steaks fry before you fry in hell. Oh. I'm just serious. People will do that. you're not going to get that guy saved, chances are, unless you come across him on the middle of the road and he's about ready to die right then. Be willing to enter their lives. Just for right now, so we get through here, I want you to go back to the bottom. Let's see here. Bottom of page 5. Where it says protests. What's in between there is basically the presentation without the illustrations that I've done. And if we have time, I want to go through that with you. Where it says protests, I want you to put the word there, objections. Let's say you go through the gospel. Again, we're just trying. I know there's not a lot of Bible what I'm doing here tonight, but what I'm trying to put everything back together here for you. When we're leading someone to Christ, the chances are there are going to be some objections. You wish everything would go just right, just by the book. I say this, they said this. I say this, they said this. Okay, would you like to buy? Yes, I would. And you go down, sometimes it goes just that easy. I'm serious, sometimes it goes just that easy. But not usually. In fact, things that used to be think were great big hurdles are really not hurdles. I'll tell you this, listen. The devil does not want them to get saved. And by the way, if you got saved, once you're saved, he doesn't want you to be useful. So he'll do the same thing to us as he does to the person we're trying to lead to the Lord. Once we get saved, we say, well, now you can't do that for anybody else. And that worked for you. That's because you're smart and you were all, prone, had a heart toward the Lord. But don't expect anybody else to. Don't let him fool you. Objections. Now, I'm going to give you a couple here. First of all, number one, not sure they need to be saved. You got someone who's not sure they need to be saved. You say, well, if something were to happen to you, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven without a shadow of a doubt? And they say, yes. Now what do you say? All right. Or they'll say, I think so. Well, I would like to think so. I hope so. Well, I'm not sure. I've been saved. Almost all those questions, don't let them throw you off. The next question is letter B. If you were outside the gates of heaven and they ask you why they should let you in the door, what would you tell them? Now, if you say, if you think you are, explain. Well, don't do that. Because all of a sudden they're going to give you all of their theology and now you're going to have to tell them they're wrong probably. And then you're going to have this big debate and sad feelings, and you're going to leave, and you're going to get in the middle of this conversation, and you're not going to know how to get out of it. Listen, take it from experience. And you don't want to hurt their feelings. It goes someplace you don't want it to go. So I've just found this works very, very well. It's not 100%, but it's 99%. If you were outside the gates of heaven, they ask you why they should let you in, what would you tell them? Well, number one says, well, I would say I've tried to do the right thing, the best I can. I do good. Well, the next question is, how do you know when you have done enough good? And I haven't had anybody say anything else, but, well, I guess no one knows that. Well, now it's all back in my hands again. So would it be okay if I took the Bible and showed you how God will guarantee you heaven? It's easy. It really is. There are other ones, but be honest with you, you get those through, they'll pretty well do it. They will pretty well solve almost all those little issues. And don't say, I caught you, or anything, let people save face. Number two, what if you have false theology? Now, this is a hard one. Who does the saving? God does the saving through the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. What is it that doesn't return void? His word. Okay. Now think about truth here now. Don't try to outthink God. Now, I know a lot of times we're trying to figure out, well, how I can do this, and I can do this, and I can get him backed in a corner over there, and we'll have him. And he'll obviously say, oh, I'm so glad you told me the truth. Probably not. Most of us are just like squirrels. You back them in a corner, we'll attack anyway, even though we don't have a chance. We'll attack. Now, letter A, give them the same truth. They're not going to get saved without the truth. How are they going to get saved? They got to know that all have sinned. Because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. Jesus died and paid for all our sin. And if we'll ask him to save us, he will. They're not going to get saved any other way than trusting that. Now, I know that we can take them through Scripture and so forth, but the fact is, this is very clear and plain. If they're not willing to accept what the Scripture says, we're not going to get them saved. We're not going to get anybody else saved who's not willing to accept the Scriptures as they are. Now, I understand that people will twist the words, and I think you may want to make sure that you define some terms as you go along. You may want to make sure that they're in layman's terms. Asking someone to be your personal savior, that probably isn't going to do a whole lot of good. But be plain and honest and open. All we can do is continue to give them the Scripture. So I would say, may I share with you some verses? Like, and see, if I've already gone through this, they say, well, you know, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, or I'm a Mormon. I'm a from Jesus, the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints. Or I'm this, or I'm that. You say, well, aren't you telling me they're not Christians? I'm saying they've redefined a lot of terms. And I'll talk about that here in a minute. But if they do that, I'll say, well, may I share with you some verses that helped me understand how I can know for sure that I'm going to heaven? Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. I'll tell you this, I wouldn't get in a big debate with them. I mean, take the lead or take a hike. I'm serious. I wouldn't spend a lot of time debating with. I'm going to share with you some things, and I want you to hear me out. I'd be fairly firm with it, because they're going to try to turn right around to the same thing with us. By the way, I'm sure that there are some folks in those churches that don't know what they supposedly believe. They don't know why they believe what they believe. But there's an awful lot of them that do. It's a shame born-again Christians aren't as diligent on a whole to know what they believe and be able to spell it out like a lot of these cults do. You're going to give them the same gospel. That's what you need to understand. Look at, did I give you letter B there? I did. I gave you some scripture. But I didn't write it out for you, did I? Yeah, I did. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:10. Watch. Letter B. The issues that are throwing them off will continue to confuse them, watch me, until they are saved. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know him, because they are spiritually discerned. This is what he's saying there. He's saying that there's a lot of things that these people are not going to understand until they're willing to admit themselves a sinner, confess Jesus Christ as God, and receive him as their Savior, because they have no other hope but him. Now, the fact is, this is one of those times when we really ought to be prayed up. Every word that we speak should be just endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. There should be something inside of them that almost burns when we talk. You want to win the Lord, and we're not going to win the Lord by debating with them or trying to outthink them. You got to give them the truth of the Word of God in the power of God. Listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have an adversary, the devil, who's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith. It's the Word of God. Stick with the Word of God. But the fact is, if we're not careful, we're going to be one of those guys that tried to cast out the devil and got whooped. And the devil said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who in the world are you? Hey, Jesus came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were trying to cleanse some boy of a demon. And he said, listen, this only comes by prayer and fasting. Listen, they are controlled by something bigger than we are, and if you're going to win them to the Lord, you're going to have to need to know the Word of God. You're going to have to spend some time yielding to the Word of God, asking for His power, relying on Him to do the work. We're almost scared of those people. No reason to be scared. We're on the winning side. We're on the side of truth. We walk around with our tail between our legs. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Give them truth with the power of the Holy Spirit. He can't fight that. Now, he may deny it, he may walk away from it, he may refuse it, but he won't be the first. The Pharisees did the same thing. Letter C. We can determine whether they're saved or not by where they stand on Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, wherefore I give to you understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. That's what it says. 1 John 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. In other words, this is God, the Messiah. That's who that is. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus, the Savior. That's what that word is. Jesus means the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, has come in the flesh. Then are willing to believe they're not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Even now already is it in the world. And then number three, I made a little mention. You may have to ask them to define some of their terms, because they like to play word games and semantics. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. No, He was God. Letter D. This is tough. If someone will just not listen, move on. This is tough. Now, you may have another chance later to do something. You can pray for them to be softened. You may happen to go back later. Shake the dust off and move on. There are others who really want to know truth. That's hard. Matthew 10:14, Jesus said, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. See, well, that's a terrible thing to say. Listen, don't let one person discourage you. I'll tell you what. If I let one person discourage me, I would have been gone the day I came. You've heard my story. I would have been gone the next week. And the week after that, they asked the preacher, they said, have you ever thought of resigning? Every Monday morning. You get done, you feel like you've been a failure in the pulpit. Somebody told you something and somebody's against you. And, you know, preacher, I don't care what all they're saying. I'm for you. It happens everywhere. There's always some. Some would just think it's their job to keep the preacher straight. There are some people who are going to think it's their job to make you look like a fool, to prove you wrong. all around. Number three, objection. They're busy. Busy. They're busy. They don't want to hear it. They're busy. Letter A, do not force them to listen. Do not force them. If you're making a hospital call, they may not want to hear it right then. You might have a room full of people. But you may still want to pray with them. Pray for them. And, you know, you could thank the Lord for his mercy and salvation through Jesus, but don't go on and on and on and on and on. We had a gentleman, relative of one of our folks, walked in to see him. He wasn't really expecting. We were praying for him. I went to the hospital to see him. When I got in there, the room had, three or four other people in, at least three, I think. And that wasn't really a good time. So I talked and chatted a little bit. We heat-hauled a little bit and had a good time. And then I said, I'm heading out. I'm being released today. I said, well, is that right? Would you mind if I buzz by the house sometime to see how you're doing? Well, that'd be great. Yeah, please. And so it was, I hate to say, it was about 2 months later by the time I got there. But got there, the situation was different, and sat around the dining room table, and the man bowed his head and prayed to receive Christ. Now, I don't know. I mean, he seemed to listen to it and listen to it well. Only God knows who does what, but he listened to it well, and I looked at him and said, you meant that? And he shook my hand and said, yes, sir, I did. And we went through it. So, you know, I'm not going to call the guy a liar like you would have anybody else. So, at least he's heard it. Now, this is going to sound terrible. Now, don't just spill it out all over them and walk away and say, well, that one was off my hands. But the fact is, you give a good, concerted effort, and they give the gospel, and you've done what you can. The blood's not on your hands anymore. The blood's not on your hands anymore. Now they may come back. I talked about it last week. I had a lady that went through it all with me. I think she was just kind of being nice, but I thought, well, she said what she was saying, and then she showed up my office last week and said, I'm scared to die. And I went through this like I never told her anything. But the fact is, she came back to church on Sunday, brought her husband along with her. I'm coming, and after the church services, I'm coming back next week. Now we'll go out there and see her again, and now that's really on her heart, and we'll go through it again and see what happens. As long as she's open. So don't force them. If they're busy, let her be. Thank them for their time and give them a tract. If they're too busy to listen, thank them for talking to you, giving you a little bit of their time, give them a tract. Here's something I'd like you to have. I hope you will read it sometime when you have an opportunity. You get a chance, read this, when you get a chance. Do what you can. More than one person has gotten saved off a tract. That's why they're so, Jimmy, that's what you say you did. There's a chairman of our deacon that I think he's worth a piece of paper. You don't know. Maybe they heard it and heard it and heard it. That's all they needed was see it in black and white one more time. I mean, there's a reason why the Gideons put Bibles in hotel rooms for all those years. Letter C. Invite them to visit the church sometime. You're busy. All right. That's that place where you say, well, let those steaks fry so you don't. No, that's not going to do us any good. So what if he dies and goes to hell before that you get back? You did what you could do. God knows that. He doesn't want you to grab him by the nape of the neck and get the head down. Pray with me. With the heart, man believes in the righteousness. Do what you can do. Although I will say this, we should go as soon as we can. Can I give you a sad story? A personal story? My dad's family never wanted to have much to do with evangelical Christians. And my dad's brother, Uncle Carol, was He was named for Charles Carroll of Carrollton, who signed the Declaration of Independence and all that. But anyway, good guy. They hung around a lot together because they were both antique car buddies and besides brothers. And all of a sudden, something struck him. We don't know what it was. They don't think it was a stroke. But it was just like he was a child who couldn't talk. And my dad said, by that time my dad was saved, and he said, I know he prayed to receive Christ to get it all settled just about 7 years ago when he was in the hospital. I know, but he had already gotten it settled in his heart, and he just didn't know it, but he knew it. But I'll explain it some other time. But anyway, he said, would you go see Uncle Carroll? I think he needs you to talk. I know he listens to guys on preacher, and I know he goes to church, but he won't tell him what you'll tell him. You know what I mean? And I said, yeah, Dad, I'll go. And I went in to see him, and I should have gone to see him before. And I talked to him, and he just kind of went. I walked in, I said something, he looked up, he could hear. But he couldn't understand a word I was saying. He looked as normal as we look. His expressions were just as normal as we are. The strangest thing in all my life. I went through it with him. Even the point of, bowing our heads, but he just sat there. I'm not a big Southern Baptist, but he used to listen to Charles Stanley, and I'm hoping he got the gospel in there somewhere. He probably could have. He said, I like to listen to that guy, and I hope he got the gospel in him. I really do. And I think there's a chance he did. That's a sad thing. It was too late. But the person was right there. But he wasn't. I'm hoping he was saved and God just did that to burn a hole in my heart. That's what I'm hoping. So do what you can as soon as you can. Number four. There's objections and things like this. Well, here's a way to stop some of that. Exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to win somebody to Christ. Exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Letter A. Never argue. Never argue. Don't argue with somebody trying to get them to say, we cannot debate someone into receiving Christ. Number two, always leave them in a state where they may be willing to listen to the gospel again, whether it's with you or someone else. If they may not like a word you said, but it was all said and done, and say, "Well, you can't deny she's a nice lady, or he's a good guy, kind of guy you gotta have to like." I mean, I don't like what he said, but you kind of have to like him. Letter B, be willing to listen. Here's that phrase. Folks don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Listen. Listen. Letter C, be pleasant and courteous. Number one, respect. Number one, respect the feelings of others. So it's the wrong feelings. Respect the feelings of others. Misconception. Respect the feelings of others. Respect the property of others. Don't walk through their flower bed to get to the front door. You know? A lot of little things like that. I mean, really. You walk in, don't take the man of the house's seat unless he gives it to you. In fact, don't take a seat until they tell you to sit down. Respect them. It's their domain. And the last one, be polite. That sounds funny. But sometimes we get so lost in the job that we're trying to do that we think everybody understands the immediacy, the imminence of what we're trying to do here, the importance. And obviously, they're going to be all excited about this like we are. Right? When you walk in the door, they probably don't give a hoot while you're. In fact, they're saying, he came right when my show comes on. They called right when I was going to eat lunch. Or I was going to, think about those things. Think about others. That's time to stop, isn't it? It's time to stop. Do anybody have a real quick question you've been dying to ask or anything? In the middle of the paper you have there is the plan we've gone through so many times. It basically doesn't have those big illustrations. So if they're not comfortable with those illustrations, that's fine. Or you want to find one of your own, that's fine. But the meat of it is right in there. And I did this years ago, and I'll probably do it again. I'm going to print that up on a card, slightly abbreviated, something you can slip in your Bible, that if you're calling somebody on the phone, you can just kind of walk down the list here, okay? And you do that a few times. After a while, it's going to make sense. I know that Shirley Ravenstein has led a few folks over the Lord years ago. She says, I just followed your card. Before long, I realized they're willing to bow their head and pray with me and receive Christ. And it was really good. And I hate to say this, I don't have a whole lot of patience, but I know down at Open Door there got to be a time where the telemarketers heard about those people in Westminster. They stopped calling because everybody trying to win them the Lord. And they say, well, I have something I want to share. If I listen to you, would you listen to what I have to say? Well, sure, okay. So they listen to their whole spiel. Said, no, well, that's really nice, but no, thank you. But I tell you what, I got a deal for you. And they started leading folks to the Lord over the phone, to the point where one of the persons said, they were talking to us, said, well, you know what, let me ask you a question. I said, if something happened to you, you'd sure if you died to go to heaven. She says, you're from Westminster, aren't you? We heard about you people. And, it's all right. There's a bunch of them crying on the phone, this happened. And they said, I can't believe you said it, because I was just thinking my husband died last week. You don't know. You can do this. If there's a question, you let me know, all right? You let me know. Please talk. I'll try to help anything I can. And we don't have all the answers. And to be honest with you, some people are just going to say no. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Now, the reason it's few is sometimes we have, though the harvest is white, the laborers are few. But sometimes they just don't want to hear. We weep. Don't let it get you down. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. There's somebody else along your path of life that needs to know. Just be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. I thank you for these last 10 weeks that you have been with us. We've kind of gone through this. Lord, if there be one here this evening, talk about having it settled in our own heart. If there be one here this evening that doesn't know for sure if they die to go to heaven, Lord, I hope that they won't leave without getting this settled. I know that we have several folks here who love to take the Bible and show them how they can know for sure. Maybe they've been here many times. Maybe it's the first time. But maybe, Lord, if they need to get settled, help us get it settled. And, Lord, for each one of our folks, would you give them boldness, give them your power, remind them to surrender to you, remind them to pray for you, remind them to have to see others as you see them. And, Lord, pray that you'll set our hearts on fire to see others won. They're searching for the Word of God. They just don't know it. But there's a God-sized hole in every one of those hearts that only God can fill. You're the only one that can fill it. So Lord, help us to be good deliverers. We're just the delivery boys. We've got to keep our vessels clean. Lord, use us in a great and mighty way. Put your hand upon each one of these and upon our church. May we turn our little town upside down for you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.